And our first case, please.
Our first public hearing this evening is case number 12,291. John and Colleen Girard seek a variance from the front yard setback requirements for proposed structures. Sections 115.34, 115.182 and 115.185 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the east side of Hassell Avenue, extension approximately 346 feet south of Hassell Avenue in the Bayview Park subdivision. The 911 address is 34978 Hassell Avenue, South Bethany. Zoning district is MR, medium density residential. The tax parcel ID is District 134, map 20.11, parcel number 25.00. Specifically, the applicant is requesting an 18-foot variance from the 30-foot required front yard setback for a proposed dwelling. Staff would note that we've received zero letters of support, zero letters of opposition, and zero mail returns. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
John Edward Girard. Home address is 1414 34th Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C.
Thank you.
Colleen Girard, same address.
And do you both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Good evening, Mr. Fuqua.
Give him down to Mr. Whitehouse. We'll get him in the record, sir.
Good evening.
How are you?
I am very good. For the record, my name is James Fuqua. I'm an attorney here in Sussex County, and I'm representing the applicants, John and Colleen Girard. As was stated, this is an application for an 18-foot variance from the 30-foot front yard setback requirements for an existing lot that is made up of lot 779 and half of lot 80. In the second addition to Bayview Park, the lot fronts on Hassell Avenue extended. As you know, Bayview Park is an older subdivision located on the west side of Route 1, just south of South Bethany. The Girards have a contract to purchase the lot, and it's their intention to remove the existing home that's located on the property and to replace it with a new home. The existing home on the lot has a front yard setback of 8.5 feet at its closest point to Hassell Avenue extended, which you can see on the screen, and that's obviously parcel 25. The Girards are requesting an 18-foot front yard variance to permit a front yard setback of 12 feet at the home's closest point to the road. All the other setbacks will be complied with. Even with the variance, the new home will have a front yard setback approximately 3.5 feet greater than the existing setback of the home that's located on the property. As I stated, Bayview Park is an older subdivision, and over the past 20 years, many of the original homes in the development have been removed and replaced with larger, modern homes. Which, again, is what the Girards intend to do. As to the legal requirements for a variance, there are several unique conditions particular to this lot that create exceptional practical difficulties, and the requested variance is necessary to enable the reasonable use of the lot consistent with other modern homes that have been built in the community. First of all, the lot has a very unique location. Again, as you can see from the screen, the lot is the next to the last lot located on Hassell Avenue extended, which ends at lot 78, which is the parcel 26 on the screen. The adjacent lot to the south is owned by Mr. and Mrs. Wigley. And you can see the lot borders what's called Cedar Pond on the east. And to the west is the wetlands and the bay. And if you've driven down there, you can see it's two of the most unique lots in Sussex County in terms of the view and the location. Second, and if you'd look at Exhibit A of the handout I did, and this is just a survey of the existing conditions. While the actual survey shows the depth of the lot is 94 feet on the north side and 74 feet on the south side. There's an existing bulkhead that goes across the rear of the lot, and a sizable portion of the lot is actually subaqueous land, which is actually part of Cedar Pond. As a result, the actual actual uplands of the lot are 77 feet on the north and only 63 feet on the south. And again, the portion that's of the recorded lot that are actually underwater varies between 17 feet and 11 feet for the entire 101 feet width of the lot. A third, the lot is zoned MR, and as you know from the zoning ordinance, MR lots have a required area of 10,000 square feet. This lot and many of the lots in Bayview Park are non-conforming lots, since I believe Bayview Park was created before Sussex County adopted zoning in 1970. The Girard's lot survey shows the lot size as 8,497 square feet, but when you deduct the land that's underwater, the lot size is only about 7,000 square feet. The 30-foot setback for MR lots was designed for a 10,000 square foot lot, and applying that standard setback to a 7,000 square foot lot again creates serious difficulties in using it for reasonable use. For example, on the south side, the lot's only 63 feet. With a 30-foot setback and a 10-foot rear yard setback, you'd only have a 20-foot building envelope. Because of the narrow lot depth, the requested front yard variance is needed to build a modern residence. It'd be similar to other homes that are located in the development. This condition was not created by the applicants. This lot was created as part of the original subdivision. The shallow depth of the lot was the original lot layout. The variance will not alter the essential character of the area. Because of the isolated location of the lot near the end of Hassel Avenue Extended, there's really only one existing home that's directly affected, and that's Mr. and Mrs. Wigley's home on parcel 26, as shown on the screen. This requested variance will permit construction of a new home consistent with the style and the values of their home. As stated, the proposed front setback will actually be greater than the setback that currently exists on the home shown on the screen. In addition, there is precedent supporting the variance in that the board has previously acknowledged the justification for a variance due to uniqueness in the shape of a lot in this specific area. Exhibit D of the handout that I submitted is a copy of the minutes of the Board of Adjustment meeting in case number 10065, which was held on February 25th, 2008. And that was a variance request filed by the Hooten Family Irrevocable Trust. That variance actually involved a parcel 26. The minutes indicate that a house was built on lot, again, I'm just going to refer to it as 26, in 1979. In 2007, that house was in the process of being sold. A location survey was done, I assume, by the buyers that indicated that the house encroached into the front yard setback. So an application for a 15-foot variance from the 30-foot front yard setback was requested and approved by the board based on that lot being unique in shape. From the records, the board hearing was held on February 25th, 2008. The trust most likely filed the variance application in November or December 2007, but the trust actually deeded the home to Mr. and Mrs. Wigley on January 7th, 2008. So they were actually the owners when the variance was approved. And I believe since that time, they've actually removed that home and recently built a new home on the property. Now, that variance on the adjacent lot was based on parcel 26 being unique in shape, and I would submit that the Girard's lot is even more unique in shape due to the portion of the lot that's underwater. In addition, on the variance application for number 26, It was represented that the requested variance was consistent with other variances that had been granted in Bayview Park, and that the home on the adjacent lot, which is the Gerard's lot, had an existing home setback of 8.8 feet. So our proposed variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood, since number one, the variance is similar to the front yard variance granted on the adjacent property and other variances in the community. The planned improvement will be a modern home consistent with the trend of development in the community and the values of homes in the community, and the variance will actually result in greater front yard setback than the setback of the house that currently exists. And finally, again, as to the legal requirements, the 18-foot front variance is the minimum needed to enable the reasonable use of this lot for construction of a modern home to be designed as a retirement home for the Gerards. Now, normally, that would conclude my presentation, but I need to address one further thing. Mr. Gerard and Mr. Wigley have had some discussions where Mr. Wigley has expressed concern over an issue which I do not believe is actually relevant to this variance request. Mr. Wigley indicated that at times in the past, when a number of vehicles are present at the existing house, access to his home was impeded by cars parking on the road. And I certainly acknowledge that that's a legitimate concern of his. However, not only should a good neighbor not permit that to occur, but I would suspect that the restrictions of the development prohibited and the laws of the state of Delaware certainly prohibit parking on travel lanes or road. In addition, regardless of the setback of the Gerard's house, the zoning code only requires two off-street parking spaces for a single-family home. So a setback greater than 12 feet that does not address the parking issue. The Gerards have indicated and authorized me to commit that they will provide at least four off-street parking spaces on their lot, which again is twice what is required. And because the home will be built on pilings because of this location, there may be significant room under the house itself for additional, what I would call storage type parking spaces. And that will be taken into consideration in the design of the house. The house, there's a placeholder type design, but the final design obviously hasn't been done until they knew what the setback would be. In any event, the Gerards will certainly make sure that anyone at their home will not park in the roadway because, number one, it's not only inconsiderate, but it's illegal. So in conclusion, we do not believe the parking issue is relevant to the standards for a variance. And in this case, as far as the variance standards, there are unique circumstances involving the shape and physical conditions of the property. The difficulty in building on this lot is due to those conditions. The 12-foot front yard setback will be an increase in the long existing 8.5-foot front yard setback. The variance is required for the reasonable use of the property. It is the minimum needed, and the situation was not created by the Gerards. And the requested variance is similar to other variances granted in Bayview Park, and in particular on lot 26, the adjacent property. So for those reasons, we submit that the proper basis is clearly exists for the requested 18-foot front yard variance. We do request your approval, and I would ask Mr. Gerard if everything I represented is true and correct to the best of his knowledge. And perhaps if you could just come up, just identify yourself.
Yes, my name is John Gerard, and yes, I do agree with everything that my counsel has said.
All right, is there anything further you want to add?
Not at this time.
Okay. Okay, gentlemen, that will conclude our presentation, other than any questions you might have.
Other questions from members of the board?
I have a question. So I just found it kind of interesting that this lot goes into the pond. Their deed is not attached, but the neighbor, the Wigleys, is, it doesn't encroach into the pond. It goes to the bulkhead. So I'm wondering, because it is a very old subdivision, when this was started, that the lot line should have come up where that road is and meet where the Wigglies are, instead of encroaching into the pond. You see what I'm saying?
I'm not quite sure what you...
So the Wigglies lot does not go into the pond. I read the, it says, "Nail found in bulkhead along Cedar Pond." So it, that end lot does not go into the pond. I'm wondering why this next lot does. And if, because it's such an old subdivision, that road probably was just a, back in 1960, a private road, and you, that lot could have come up to the lot line where the Wigglies is.
Wigglies lot line comes up to the pink.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
All I can tell you is the survey obviously comes up to the right of way of Hassel Avenue Extended.
It
always came up to that right of way. This is the surveyor saying this. The weather.
Does the lot line, between the lot line and the paved road, is there grass area? I mean, we can. It would appear so because of the tax.
Just from what you can see, it's not a lot. The house is, well, the survey is the best thing to see. The house is 8.5 feet from the right of way.
I got you.
Again, going back to, I don't know when, and you probably might know this better than I do, when the development was created. I was probably in the 50s. When it was originally created, that land may have gone out there, and it may have eroded, and at some point in time, people along that pond put it in bulkhead.
It was plotted in October 10th of 1960.
Okay.
Per this deed provided of the Wigglies, but not of your clients.
We were all youngins then.
Yeah, I couldn't even probably talk them, but.
Well, again, I mean, from my experience, what happened with a lot of properties like that were waterfront, at some point in time, somebody comes in and puts in bulkheading that establishes the line, and the rest of it erodes or has already eroded. And, regardless, the recorded deed has this as shown, and some of that lot is underwater.
All right, one other. There's no, I don't see any steps. Or HVAC?
Well, the HVAC would be on the sides.
And we...
Asking for a variance for that. We're not asking for a variance for the steps.
But you're going to build to 10 feet of the sides?
Yep. Yes.
So you're allowed to encroach 3 feet?
Right. We're not asking for anything about that. Everything else, as far as I know, is going to be met.
Okay.
How many square feet is the house that they're proposed to build?
Again, it hasn't been designed yet. Can you give a ballpark?
Well, 26 by 30.
There's two things. From what my understanding in the community, the setbacks on the side are, there's been an exception from what I understand, the 5 feet. All right, which I've been told by the Wigglies and so on.
I don't think the county allows that, but
if it's a pre-existing non-conforming lot under 10,000 square feet, i.e. 9,999 square feet or less, then the side yards may be reduced to 5 under the small lots ordinance. But we just need to check the lot history.
This is less than 10,000 square feet. So
for purposes of designing this for today, we gave 10-foot setbacks on the side in order to design the house.
To accommodate.
That would be somewhere between 3,500 square feet to 4,000 maximum is what we're anticipating. Basically a 4 to 5 bedroom home.
And where is the parking going to be?
Parking is either going to be under the house, or if we are able to move the house far enough forward to have a garage on the short side where you can have a driveway and parking for two. Our ultimate design is to be able to have more of the living space on the first floor. We don't really want to have a 3 or 4 foot story home. If you look at the view from the pond, the beauty of the whole pond is that you have the ability to see there. We're not trying to build a 4 foot structure. Plus, as we retire, we already live with 4 sets of stairs going up and down and carrying little dogs. We're trying to keep the main living area all on the first floor. So
If we were able to go back to the normal setback, we would have to start building the house almost where the back of the house is now, which would force us to have almost a 3 to 4 foot floor house in order to accommodate what we're trying to do. And that, we feel, would really ruin the whole view for everybody else in the community overlooking the park.
And again, Mrs. McGee, as far as the code, they're required to have 2 off-street parking places. And I've represented that they would commit to having at least 4 off-street parking places. And again, once the design of the building's done, there could be space underneath for additional storage-type parking.
We've lived in that only for 20 years, so we, you know, you need at least 4 spots.
Okay.
I don't have anything else at this time.
Any other questions from members of the board? Mr. Sharp?
Any flooding issues in the rear yard?
Excuse me?
Step up to the mic so we can catch on. Are there any flooding issues in the rear yard as well, that, you know, is it sloped or anything like that closer to the pond?
Our understanding is that occasionally the pond, there does get water, so we will have to build the house up on some type of piling. The goal is to try not to build it up as, you know, as high as we have to, you know, but our understanding is that, you know, to build up the lot a little bit from your ground perspective.
So that's a reason to keep it away from the rear of the
right
lot.
It's tidal anyway, because it's really not a pond.
Right.
It opens.
Yeah, it's just the name of it. It's
just the name, but it's not really a pond.
But again, as far as you know, as far as the federal flood map is concerned, this will have to meet the elevations.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then the other question I got is there a gap between the front property line, the edge of paving of Hassel Avenue Extended?
I'm sorry.
Does the, looks like on the aerial there that the edge of paving doesn't necessarily meet the front property line. It doesn't
right.
show on the survey. Is there a gap there?
Yes.
How far is that gap from your front property line?
It's about 10 feet from where the end of the road is to where the property line starts to where the setback actually is.
Okay.
So people parking on the road right now would actually be where you see the grass where that yellow line is. There's about 10 feet from the road to where the actual property line that
so you've got about 22 feet from where the proposed house would be to where the edge of the paving is
right.
of the road. Okay. All right. I have no further questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone here in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Please come forward and be sworn in.
Good evening.
You need to be sworn in, please.
Good evening. You state your name and address for the record.
Michael Wigley, 34980 Hassel Avenue Extended.
And what I'm going to do is swear everybody at the same time. So please step aside. So you can sit here.
Susan Wigley, 34980 Hassel Avenue Extended, Bethany Beach, Delaware.
Thank you.
John Hendrickson, 35026 Andrew Street, Bethany Beach, Delaware.
And do the three of you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Now we go up and you just state your name again for the record. And go up.
Okay.
Good evening.
Okay, good evening. My name is Mike Wigley, and as mentioned before, I'm here speaking for both Susan and myself, but I'm sure if I forget something that Susan will speak up. But we're the Wigleys that live in parcel 26 that's been referred to. And as mentioned, we're in opposition to the setback, the variance requirement of 18 feet, although we recognize that a variance is needed, but not that amount. And we've, as Mr. Fuquay mentioned, we've owned the house since 2007. 2008, we actually settled on it. And at the time, we realized, of course, the neighborhood's wonderful. It's really a great spot. People are wonderful. The neighbors are great. We knew there were going to be some challenges. You know, the roadways, the right-of-ways are only 30 feet wide. All the roads dead end, either in a canal or, in our case, our property. You know, nowadays, of course, designing subdivisions, 50-foot right-of-ways, all roads have to end in a cul-de-sac, 100-foot cul-de-sacs. Fire marshals allow T intersections, so in some cases for multifamily, you know, that's permitted. But we don't have that in this situation. We knew there'd be some challenges, but the, you know, the beauty of the area really appealed to us, and we knew that, you know, that it'd be a nice place to live. And we know that, I'm almost certain after speaking with the Girards, that that's of interest to them too, and it really is just a really great spot. So, you know, they seem like really nice people. We'd love to have them as neighbors. You know, we almost hate to start on a contrarian step here, but we really would welcome them in and share the enjoyment of the community with them. Now, when we bought the house in 2007, Mr. Fuqua mentioned that we had a variance at that time, and we did. In full disclosure, we're both architects, and we just didn't think that we could, in good conscience, own a home that was an illegal nonconformity. So we wanted to bring the house in as a legal nonconformity. And so we came in, the existing house was existing, happened to be that we needed a 14-foot variance just to have that existing cottage stay on the property. And what's interesting is that house is almost identical to the one that's on the Girard's house. They were both built in the late 70s, early 80s, both have asbestos siding. I mean, it's you know, one of those two-story cottages. And we knew that we were eventually going to build a new house, which we did 2 years ago. And so when we received the variance, one of the conditions was that we, if we were to build new, that that variance goes away. We had to deal with the variance or the setbacks that were given to us, which in our case is a 30-foot radius from the end of Hassel Extended. And if I may, I've got some drawings. Being architects, so we have this tendency to put drawings together.
Thank you.
So what I've done is, what we've tried to do is illustrate a couple things. And if you look at the drawing on top, you'll notice that our house is the lot to the right. And we currently have, it's a two-story house on piling. It's about 4,200 square feet altogether. And we designed the house to fit within the required setbacks. And at that time, they were 10 feet around the entire property and 30 feet from the end of Hassel. And so what we wanted to do was demonstrate that even though the houses, and you can see that the houses are about the same, the lots are about the same size, we wanted to demonstrate that a house can be designed for these lots. So in our opinion, the requirement on number two on what the board is looking for is it mentions here that because such physical circumstances of the lot, there is no possibility that the property can be developed. But we would challenge that in this case. We certainly were able to do it on our property. We think the Girards can also do it on theirs. Now, they have an unusual circumstance where they do have a shallower depth to their property. And we think a 30-foot setback would be some difficulty for them. Now, Susan and I have both designed probably together more than 20 houses in Sussex County. I've done a couple oceanfront houses in Fenwick on 50-foot wide lots. So we know that it's possible to design very nice homes. One of these homes was 3,800 square feet. We know it's very possible to design very unique and nice homes on shallow lots. So with this drawing that you see on the top, what we tried to illustrate was that you could take the same footprint that we have for our 4,200 square foot house and put it on their property, and given the 5-foot side yard setbacks, actually make the house work. And what we're illustrating is what we would suggest is a 20-foot setback, which would mean a 10-foot variance. And I'll get into some more detail on why that particular number, and there is a rationale behind that. But you can see that given that, it would clearly fit into the space. So we wanted to illustrate that would work, let you know that we did not need a variance when the new house was built. So it was built exactly as the setbacks allow. We think there's not a hardship required. A house can be designed suitable size to fit on the property. I'm not sure what documents you got from the Girards. The plans that we got showed a swimming pool. And we certainly wouldn't begrudge the Girards of having a swimming pool, but we don't necessarily think a swimming pool should, you know, the want of a swimming pool should create a hardship for a house that could fit on a piece of property. Now, in Bayview Park, to our knowledge, there's three houses that do have swimming pools, but the majority of houses do not. You know, I think we could bargain, you know, we'd love to have a swimming pool, but, you know, it wasn't going to work out, so we went ahead and worked with what we had. So the first drawing shows how we were able to work our footprint onto their property. The second drawing that you look at, what we did was we took the plans that they had given us and we applied the 5-foot side yard setbacks that you're now allowed to have, you are allowed to have now because of the fact that they're less than 10,000 square feet. We kept the 10 feet in the back, even though they'd be allowed to go 5 feet. Most all the bulkheads in the community are tieback, and those usually come back 10 feet. And that was the case with our property. So we held 10 feet on the rear to make sure we cleared the tieback. Now, I have a feeling, we were talking about it on the way over, but now that there's setback leniency now for these, we're probably going to start seeing more sheet pile setbacks that don't require the tie, so people can get even more house and get closer to waterways. But in this illustration, we kept that. So the drawing that you see, we stretched it a little bit. It's the exact same square footage of the footprint they were showing. It shows the swimming pool, same size, and it shows it fitting within a 20-foot setback, requiring a 10-foot variance, not an 18-foot variance. In addition to that, you may notice that we calculated on our property the buildable area within the setbacks is 3,171 square feet. The buildable area within the suggested 20-foot setback and keeping the 10-foot in the rear for the Girards actually leaves a buildable area of 3,713 square feet, which would be, yeah, as you can see, about 550 more square feet than what our property had to build in. So again, fully further illustrating that the house, even their house that they had designed, could work. So Mr. Fuquay had mentioned that myself and Mr. Girard had some conversations. I must say that very cordial. You know, they really do want to put a nice house on the property. There might have been a little bit of a misunderstanding. We do want there to be plenty of parking. With the house that's there now, it's a smaller house. They don't entertain that very often. They have one driveway that comes right out to the roadway because that part of the house is 12 feet back. Mr. Fuquay mentioned 8.5 feet. Well, that's at the southern corner of the house. It angles back to 12 feet, so it's not a full 8 feet across the property. I think that's important to note. They have a car parked in the driveway. All the other cars have to park parallel. A lot of times they're in the roadway. On occasion, we've had to knock on their door, ask them to move the car so we could just simply get into the house.
We live there year-round, shouldn't.
Yes. So the concern wasn't so much parking itself, but was maintaining the access way to our property. And we're concerned about that for a couple of reasons, not just the normal day-to-day. You know, knocking on their door to have them move the car is not a big deal for us. Last winter, the snowstorm, electricity went out in the whole neighborhood. We had to wait till Delmarva Power came out to fix a transformer, and they were nice enough to plow the road back to our property. The snow has nowhere to go because the right-of-way is so narrow. The wetlands border the western side of Hassel Extended. So if there's any realignment or any widening of the road, it can't happen in that direction. We need to maintain that ability for emergency vehicles, delivery trucks, whatever, to come in and you know, since we live there year-round, we, you know, and as we get older, we want to make sure that we've got that capability going forward. Now, with a setback, no matter what the setback is, whoever builds there, even if you can park underneath the house, that doesn't preclude them from later on coming in and putting a garage door in, or somebody buying the house in the future and closing that off, forcing cars to park in front between the house and the roadway. Now, if there's a 12-foot setback, and there is 10 feet between the property line and the roadway, so that leaves about 22 feet for a vehicle to, if they pulled right up to the house, nose right up to the house, could fit and still have the roadway go by. But the roadway is only 14 feet. So as you all know, when we design parking lots or when there's roadways, you have a 24-foot aisle and you have an 18-foot deep parking space, 42 feet total. That allows you to be able to make a 90-degree turn, be able to pull back, and then go forward. We only have 26. So when you measure from a 12-foot setback to the, and then the 10 feet to the road, you get then you have the or we have you just don't have the same ability to pull in and back out and go forward. So if somebody's parked parallel or angular, they have no choice but to either back all the way up, which is a bit dangerous given the kids that are grandkids and whatnot that are in the neighborhood. They would most likely pull into our yard, turn around, and go out. And we allow the post office vehicles to turn around. UPS turns around. The only ones that don't turn around are the trash trucks. So they've got to back up to get out of that area. So our main concern is, yes, we do want them to provide parking, because they're going to be a larger house. They'll probably entertain a little bit more. There'll be more people there than we're accustomed to seeing there. We want to be able to make sure that they can easily and conveniently get off-site. We just want to make sure that that 24-foot width that goes from the edge of the current pavement on the wetland side to their property line can be maintained clear. We're not suggesting that that 24 feet be paved. We just want to make sure that it can be clear and not have cars sticking out into it if they only had a 12-foot setback. I'm really glad to answer any questions or concerns.
So with that 20-foot setback, front yard setback, then it's easier for cars to turn around, even in their yard.
Right, so they would be able to pull up, you know, if they did build right up to that 20 feet, they'd be able to pull in perpendicular, clear their property, and that would still allow 24 feet behind them so that you could back up easily on that current 14-foot drive and then head back in the other direction.
Is the subdivision, does it have public sewer or water?
It has public sewer.
Not water.
So mm-hmm. Well water.
It's well water.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
And I know you had mentioned earlier about locations for condenser units. Of course, that would be a concern. We don't have those. We wanted to minimize. We went geothermal, so we don't have any outside units to deal with. So that might be an option for them. And I think there was a question about the property lines extending out into the water and why ours is on the bulkhead. Current surveys are, to our understanding, are required to follow the edge of the water. And that would account then for where there is erosion and you don't have the ability to gain that property back. Our older survey actually lines up with what the Girards are showing on theirs.
Okay.
But the if they had theirs surveyed now, they would also be along the bulkhead
okay.
line.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
In your drawing for the proposal for theirs,
yes.
Are the square footage changed any for them from what they have? It's the same. I know you turned the pool around.
Right, we turned the pool around. We stretched it longer.
Okay.
And so the pavilion on the right is the same square footage. The pavilion on the left is the same square footage. The area for the pool is the same square footage.
Okay. So, you just turned the pool in and mm-hmm. made it longer?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
But with your drawing, and they have HVAC on the side, it's going to be, they have 3 feet that they can put it there. That's going to be 2 feet from the property line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, honestly, we would love to have them be 10 feet away from our property, but it's more important to us that we keep that emergency access. So we wouldn't expect them to do anything that they wouldn't normally be allowed to do with okay. variance or with setbacks.
If I can assist, Mr. Chairman, if they do follow the small lots ordinance and go down to a 5-foot side yard setback, they wouldn't then be able to put the HVAC 36 inches into that
right.
because the small lots ordinance says that whilst you can reduce your side yard down to 5, that no structures are permitted in the side yard, so they wouldn't be able to go down to that 2 foot.
Okay.
You can put it in the rear yard.
Yeah.
But their deck's going to be in the rear yard. Hmm. Okay. Any other questions from members of the board?
The Wigleys have demonstrated that it can be done, and that you can do it with a 20 feet front yard setback and not the what they were asking for.
It's true, but it's not necessarily to what the Gerards would like.
From the 18 feet.
Yeah. Essentially, the issue there is that the, it's not necessarily the minimum variance to afford relief is what
right.
I'm hearing.
Mr. Hendrickson?
Hi. I'm John Hendrickson. I am the vice president of the Bayview Park Board of Directors. Been a full-time resident there since 1987. As you know, the community was created, the original deeds for the first section, I believe, in 1959. This was the last section, so yeah, it's in the 60s. And it was created out of marsh. We don't even own our own entrance road. That's a right-of-way. Got a 99-year lease with the state. And the layout of Bayview Park has many odd angles, and you know, it's the trash trucks have to back down the streets because there's no place for them to turn around. Our main concern as the board of directors is life safety issue. Okay, when we saw the 12-foot setback, and unfortunately I'm an architect too, so I know it takes 20 feet to park a car if you're going to go perpendicular, and a 14-foot wide road is not enough for a three-point turn. Okay, state fire marshal requires a 24-foot open area. In 1988, our roads were in such bad condition that we had to petition the county, and they floated us a bond issue, and the county handled the repaving of the roads, which went as a lien against everybody's property, which everybody's paid off. It was an interest-free loan. It was wonderful. But however the roads got there, it was the county engineers. You know, and some of them didn't even wind up being put in the right place and have had to be moved. So every lot in Bayview Park is unique. There's not one lot that's a rectangle. They're all odd shaped. The majority of them are under 10,000 square feet. Okay, so we all have to deal with this. In the past, we have argued against side and rear yard variances. Lately it got unsuccessful, and now the county has given the 5 feet. So we're not understanding why we have to give so much in the front. I agree that, you know, it's a tough call to make it fit with a 30-foot setback. And that's not our argument. Our argument is that we don't think 12 feet is going to work. Okay? Like I said, I'm a full-time resident. I've been there a long time. I've seen a lot. Life safety is a big issue for us because a lot of our residents are getting older, and the ambulance and the fire trucks come in more and more often. And it's, you know, it's a concern to us. And the other thing is that we know that the Board of Adjustment looks at prior variances for precedent. And every time a variance gets approved for Bayview Park, it's yet another reason to grant the next one. And so we just want to be careful that we get it granted for the right reason and it's the appropriate one.
Thank you.
Any questions?
I will point out that myself, we hear a case by case, and just because it's happened in does not have a lot of weight in my eyes. I have to be convinced that
right.
This is the minimum variance to afford relief.
I know, but you weren't here.
No, I wasn't.
10 years ago, and the question would always come up, well, haven't we granted a lot of variances in Bayview Park?
But we've helped with the small
right.
lot setbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So we've tried to fix things. Right. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
I do have one question for you. There's no way to put a turnaround on the left side there. What's that on the left side? Is that a marsh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's usually filled with
mm-hmm.
water.
Yeah.
It's wetlands.
It's wetlands. Okay.
It's outside of Bayview Park.
Oh, okay.
Excuse me.
No other questions, and thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions from members of the board? Mr. Sharp.
I have no. Thank you.
Okay. Hearing none, Chair will entertain a motion.
Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we table case number 12,291 until our next regular meeting, which is on May the 6th.
And Mr. Chairman, I guess I know Mr. Calway just made that motion. I didn't know if the chair wanted to for rebuttal for the applicant. I know sometimes that is what the board entertains when there's a position or not.
I just have one comment to make.
If that's the case, I believe Mr. Calloway, if you want to, would you
retract your
withdraw your motion for the moment?
After he's done.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And I only want to address rebuttal as far as something that was raised. The obviously, there's issues. They're narrow streets. There's issues about trucks and parking and things of that nature. Okay. However, the parking requirements for this, or the Girard's lot, the requirements are two off-street parking places. That means out, not just the street, out of the right-of-way. Those parking spaces have to be on their property. And as I represented, they're willing to commit, it can be a condition of approval, that there would be at least four off-street parking spaces. And again, I stress, that's out of the right-of-way. That's on their property. I understand the Wigleys went to the trouble of designing a house for them. But that's not necessarily what they want. And they want to buy this lot. They want to build the retirement house that they want to build. And that's your decision to make.
Very well.
Well, can I say something? Mm-hmm. But the Wigleys have shown that you don't need 18 feet to a variance to be a minimum variance to afford relief. Let me say that the house that's there that does have a variance, when that house is torn down, the variance goes away.
It's not a variance.
The house that's there doesn't have a variance.
It's non-conforming.
It's non-conforming.
So this 20, this suggested 20-foot setback could work, and they could still get the house that they want.
Not necessarily. Again, you're imposing a certain design of a house on them that the Wigleys have designed, but they want to buy this lot. They want to build the house that they want to build. Now, again, for all the factors that were stated, that's a decision you have to make. But I'm sorry about the precedent value of things, and I understand you make decisions on a case-by-case basis. But the Wigleys did get a 15-foot front yard setback variance when they bought their house. And that was a house that, in effect, was illegally built, not by the Wigleys, but had been there and was not properly built when it was built, requiring the variance. So, again,
but
I understand.
When they built their house, the new house, when they tore the other one down, that variance went away.
That's correct.
Okay.
But it's also, if you look at that drawing, you can see it's kind of unique, and I don't know exactly how this is measured, but you'll see that the front yard setback only applies down where the road is. If you look, the house comes in much closer to the lot line as it moves toward the east. And I'm not exactly sure where the front becomes a side, but.
So I believe we heard testimony this evening that it was treated as being a radius from the corner in this particular case. So it's not as clear cut as the current lot we're looking at.
All right, so the Girard's lot would have that setback along the entire 100-foot frontage of their lot, whereas the Wigley's lot was just that radius along the road frontage. So there is a significant difference in the impacts. And
Mr. Fuqua, I have a question for Mr. Girard. Mr. Girard, the Wigley's have suggested that your proposed house would fit with a 20-foot setback, as diagrammed here.
Yeah, there's a second consideration which I had brought something to visually present to the committee. The way the house is situated at this stage of the game is that the view from the corner of this lot, of the far end over here,
mm-hmm.
the view from this corner standing here, which is currently the 12-foot setback, gives you a view all the way down the bay, all the way down to Ocean City, where you can see the lights.
Okay.
All right. The proposal was to move this far end of the house back, again, 12 feet, mm-hmm. so that you have the ability to have a garage and parking off street. So you'll have 12 feet, then the 12 feet before the road begins, and then the 14 one for the road to come out and turn. These pictures here represent, if on this side of the house, this would be where a 12-foot, where a 12-foot setback would be. But if I went to a 20-foot setback, the entire lot would lose the entire view of that part of the bay all the way down. That may not be.
Is that to the south?
That's to the south.
But according to their diagram, if you look here, it would suggest that you would not be able to see because it would be past their house. Where if you moved it back, you would be able to see south.
No, you wouldn't be able to see the south if you moved it back to the 10 feet because their house is right up to the.
Well, how about if somebody builds on that lot 24?
Lot 24 is facing the opposite way. So our proposal is to build lengthwise on the long side of the lot and shallow on the side next to the Wiggly's. So the part that was 12 feet was the long side of the lot, which would give me the ability to see from the marshland down that way. If I have to set it back to where 20 feet, I'm behind this entire structure would be here, which would lose any of the view beyond this part of the water.
Right, but a minimum variance is not about a view, it's about the ability to build.
I agree.
Okay.
So it's the design of the house being able to make it longer and more on that first floor.
Okay.
That we were trying to desire.
All right. Any other questions from members of the board?
You said the view was looking back toward 26?
No.
Looking the other
way. To the south.
Yeah.
Looking that way, yeah.
Looking that way.
Yeah.
Looking north, basically, you're looking into the development. Looking south is all the open space in the bay.
Looking this way.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Well, I thought he was pointing this way.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Again, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to table the 12,291 to the next regular meeting.
Microphone. Microphone.
Can't hear you. You got to speak in the microphone.
What was that, Mr. Calloway?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we table case number 12,291 to our next regular meeting.
Very well. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second, and so by all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, motion's carried.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next case, please.
Our next public hearing this evening is case